Hey, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4. Glad that you're here this morning. This is a great place to begin, start the new year. In this place, surrounded by God's people, just digging into God's Word. And I hope, I'm praying this morning that God's Word will be practical. The Holy Spirit will use it to press it right into our hearts. And so I'm glad you're here. Faith and I went skiing on our honeymoon 33 years ago. In fact, just we were up in at a ski resort 33 years ago to today. Our anniversary is December 30th, so just a couple of days ago, and we celebrated 33 years together. Faith and I were married in Detroit, Michigan. That's Faith's home church, and we hopped in our car and drove up to a resort up in Canada, across the border, and drove up to a resort where we spent our honeymoon up there. Neither of us are great skiers. I don't know why that convinced us to go skiing on our honeymoon, but we did, and we had a great time together. I actually remember the first time I skied. I hit the slopes. I mean, literally, that is what I did. It didn't take me long to figure out a few things about skiing. My older brother Dave was with me, and so he took me out to the Bunny Hill. I know this is like totally unfamiliar to many of you here, but took me out to the Bunny Hill. The Bunny Hill is just this very slight slope of, you know, snow where you can learn a few things before you kill yourself up on the big slopes. And so he tried to teach me a few things, and I figured out real quick a couple of important lessons about the tips of my skis. Now, I know this isn't going to make sense to some of you, but I'm going to give you a little ski lesson, all right? A little snow ski lesson. Two things. Number one, always keep your skis parallel to each other. That's the first thing that you learn about the tips of your skis. You don't want them facing each other, unless you can snowplow, which I wasn't very good at. So you don't want them facing each other, or else you're going to wind up with a face plant in the snow real quick. But you also don't want your skis facing away from each other, because your body isn't meant to do what's going to happen next if you keep, you know, your skis going in those directions. So that's number one. Always keep your skis parallel to each other. Number two, did you know that when you're skiing, you always go in the direction that your toes are pointing? This is true. No exceptions to this. If you point your toes downhill, then you're going to go downhill. You're going to pick up speed in the process. That was my early experience in skiing, right? So the direction that your toes are pointing will always determine the direction that your body is going to go. Okay, I had you turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Did I say it right? Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to read a few verses at the end of the chapter, and they apply to exactly that little ski story that I told you. Let me tell you about that here in a minute. Verse 23 says this: "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." Today is the second day of 2022. One of the reasons that New Year's is so popular is that it's sort of an opportunity to start over. If you had some bad experiences in the previous year, you can kind of wipe them clean. You wipe the slate clean, and you can have a fresh start with the new year. And so many of us look forward to New Year's resolutions and new decisions that we're going to make coming up. I want to challenge you this morning about something that seems so obvious, but I'm afraid a lot of people haven't quite figured it out. And that's this: your life destination will be determined by the direction of your focus, or what we said a few minutes ago, by the way your toes are pointing, all right? Your life destination, where you end up, will be determined by the direction of your focus. And I think that's exactly what the writer of Proverbs says to us in the verses that we're going to look at this morning. What I'd like to do is I want to work backwards through this passage. I know that that's not normally how we do it, but that's what we're going to do. We're going to start at the last couple of verses, and we're going to work our way backwards back up to verse 23. And I want to draw out three principles that build on each other. So we're going to back them up for the passage, and then right at the end, we're going to move them back forward again. I hope that it'll make sense to you of how these verses are put together. All right, the first principle is this. Destination is determined by direction. Destination is determined by direction. I am amazed at how many Christians who don't seem to understand this. Hey guys, this back monitor isn't running if it's able to come up. So many Christians don't seem to understand this. Listen, the direction that you're facing and the choices that you're making right now is exactly what is going to determine your ultimate direction. That's really the point of the ski tips illustration. How you're facing right now, the direction of the tips of your skis, it is where you're going to end up. If you desire to have a godly life, and the fact that you're here this morning, I think maybe means something. It means that you've got spiritual interest, or you've got some questions about God and His Word, or probably it means, hey, I want to live a life that's, you know, godly and in a Godward direction. And if you desire that, you're going to have to point yourself in that direction. You're going to have to make godly choices. You can't say, and I'm amazed at how often this happens, you can't say, you know, I want to end up over there. Like, I know some Christians, and their life seems real purposeful and full of joy, and I'd like to be like them. That's the direction that I want to go, and then make choices that should lead you in a different direction. It doesn't work that way. That's what the writer of Proverbs says. In fact, look at it with me. In fact, we're just going to walk down through this passage. It's not my opinion. This is exactly what the scriptures say. Start in verse 26. It says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. There's some discussion actually about the translation of this first phrase. Some translations say, make straight your path, or level the path of your feet. And there's some applications of that. I actually like the King James translation. I think there's good support for exactly how it says this. I think the ESV says it in the same way. It says, ponder the path of thy feet. You better think about this. In fact, if we can define ponder a little bit more, it's the idea that before acting, consider the consequences of your decision. Because your direction decision, right, that's the way that you're going, will determine your destination. And not just tomorrow, but way down the road. So ponder means that you'd better ask the question, well, which way are my toes pointing? Because my destination will be determined by the direction of my focus. All right, the second phrase of verse 26 is also interesting. I think it's a result phrase, and that sort of means that if you take heed to the direction of your feet, right? So if you do this, if you ponder the direction of your feet, then the result will be an established and a beneficial destination. I mean, that's the point. Can I give you a couple of practical principles in this area? In fact, I'd recommend you write a few of these things down. I think they'll help you as we look out into this new year. Here's application number one is this. A slight initial deviation in direction always results in a significant change in ultimate destination. There's a lot of words in here, but I hope they make sense because they're really important. In fact, young people, I want you to hear this especially. This is the subtle danger of your life direction, because the reality is you are making choices now. You are pointing your feet in one direction. And that direction that you're pointing your feet at, unless you alter your course somewhere along the way, then you're going to end up in a specific destination. Your feet are pointing you towards the destination that you're going to receive. You shouldn't be confused about that. It takes only a very slight initial change in direction. But over time, the result is a dramatic difference in ultimate destination. I'd say, well, you know, what I'd like to do is I'd like to go there. That's where I'd like my life to end up. That's my desired destination. So if I point my feet that direction, that's the way I'll go. But what happens is along the way, sometimes we tend to just change the direction of our feet a little bit. You're like, well, it's not that big a deal. It's not a big change. I mean, we're still kind of going generally in the same direction. But here's the truth. A slight initial deviation direction always results in a significant change in ultimate destination. Right now, it doesn't feel like that much. But if you continue on the path of your feet's direction, you know, in time, it can become a very divergent destination. This is how individuals lose their spiritual vibrancy and their passion for God. Have you ever wondered why, you know somebody that one time in their life, they were just really on fire for God and they're passionate about God, but then down the road, you know, a year or two or three or four, it feels like they've kind of stopped some of that passion. Well, there can be a lot of things that play in it, but this is one of them. Somewhere along the way, instead of the feet pointed towards this passion of God, they've been distracted and turned just a little ways. And it doesn't feel like that much, right away, but down the road, it's a significant change. The key is what I'm pointing at. If I continue this course, where will I end up? Are my toes pointed at God and His will for my life? Because if they're pointed anywhere else, even very slightly, then I'm going to end up someplace else. All right, number two. It's critical that all systems are pointing in the same direction. Right? That's the ski illustration. When you're skiing, both skis have to be going the same direction or else, you know, it's going to be very uncomfortable for you. The same is true in life. I mean, it's true in a church, it's true in an organization, it's true in a family, it's true in your life. One of the best ways for a church to end up in a crumpled heap, stagnant, and not really going anywhere is if it gets filled with a bunch of people going different directions. It's so important that as a church, you maintain the purpose and the direction and everybody's moving in the same way. We're all paddling in the same direction because then we can get something accomplished, but we end up just spinning around when we're going in different directions. One of the best ways for a family to end up in a crumpled heap is if the husband and the wife are going in different directions. Or if the parents and the children are going in different directions. It just becomes very confused and you end up just kind of spinning around. And one of the best ways for you personally to lose your spiritual vibrancy is to allow different segments of your life to head in opposite directions or even just in different directions. I'm going to talk about that some more. Here's number three. If the destinations are in opposite directions, drawing closer to one automatically means you pull farther away from the other. Please, please, if you miss everything else this morning, please tune in here for the next couple minutes. It's the heart of everything that we're saying. Let me tell you how the Bible describes this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says this, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." You cannot love both the world and the Father. James 4 and verse 4 says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. You can't have friendship both with the world and with God. You're either the friend of one and the enemy of the other, or you're the friend of that one and the enemy. It can't be both. Matthew 6:24 says, "No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other." Listen, one thing that I know for sure about 2022, there's a lot of things I don't know about and you don't either. I can guarantee you one thing. At the end of this year, you are either going to love the world more or you're going to love Jesus more. I guarantee you. At the end of 2022, you're either going to love Jesus more or you're going to love the world more, but you won't love both more. Sort of like if I could put this picture in front of you of 2022 and you, if we can put you like kind of dead center and off, you know, off at that door is the world, the destination of the world. And off at that door is a passion for Jesus. If your 2022 looks like a direction, even just a few paces towards the world, you are automatically moving away from Jesus. And if your direction in 2022 is paces towards Jesus, then you automatically, it just automatically happens this way. You will move away from the world. Why? Because there's an enmity between God and this world. You can't serve two masters. If you're going to chase one, then you're going to pull away from the other. And my prayer for you, every single person in here, my prayer is that in 2022, in your life, at the end, you'll be able to look back and say, because I have been drawn to Jesus, I have been pulled away from the world. That's my prayer for you. But it will happen one way or the other. You can't have both. In fact, you know what you ought to do? You ought to sit down this afternoon and write a list of all of the things that you want in 2022. This is not a positive or negative list. Just write down, here's the things that my heart desires. Here's my priorities. Here's what I want to receive. Here's some of the goals of my life. It's a good list. Write it down. But here's the part that I want to ask you to do. Besides each one, write down world or Jesus. Will this desire draw me closer to Jesus or will it draw me closer to the world? Because I guarantee you it will do one or the other. And a desire towards one always means a pulling away from the other. No man can serve two masters. You're either going to hate the one or you're going to and love the other. You're going to hold the one and despise the other. In fact, earlier in Matthew 6, it says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Real quick, I want you to turn back to 1 John chapter 2. We read these verses, I quoted them for you a minute ago, but I want you to see them. 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, this is the verse that I quoted earlier. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world." All right, so if you say, love not the world, what does that mean? What's it mean to not love the world? Well, John describes it. He says, well, don't love the things that are in the world. Then the next question is, well, what's that mean? Let me just finish this. "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." All right, so that's that divergence. But verse 16, he defines what this world means. "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." I mean, that's how you're going to know the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. That's not of the Father. "And the world passes away in the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. In fact, I don't have the time to read it, but really the rest of this passage, all the way down through the end of verse 29, is this description of this warning that John's giving to the church, to the believers, and he's saying, man, you're going to have to make some decisions about this, and this is serious business. Why is that? Well, because destination is determined by direction. Here's number two. Direction is determined by focus. Verse 25 says this. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. The reference to the eyes is telling us that we have to have this unswerving focus on proper life goals. And in fact, it's sort of connected with this idea that we can't be sidetracked by things that don't really matter. I mean, that's the focus part. In fact, the eyelids adds the idea that this focus has to be steady. It's not characterized by fluttering eyelids. I mean, if we're going to stay on course, if we're going to stay on direction, then we've got to have our eyes focused. They can't be distracted by a lot of other things. I don't know if you've ever followed track very much. Maybe watched some of the Olympics. I love the pre-sprint routine of sprinters, or even really any track athlete. I mean, if you watch the Olympics, it's kind of crazy, right? Because, I mean, it's a huge crowd, except for this last year. But normally there's this huge crowd in a big stadium. And then track and field has a lot of different events going on at the same time. But you know what? When those sprinters come up to the line for that 100-meter dash, or that, you know, that young lady or that young guy comes up for his, you know, third attempt at the high jump or the long jump or the pole vault, I mean, they look like this, right? There's 50,000 people or more surrounding them, all of them screaming, all of them looking at different events happening. There's, you know, someone throwing a discus, and there's a pole vault event happening on. But for that athlete in that time, I mean, his focus or her focus is so intense that they're not distracted by anything else that comes along. It's sort of this idea. Their eyelids are not fluttering. There's no blinking. Hey, listen. Your direction is determined by your focus. So don't get sidetracked. Don't lose focus. Don't allow the distractions of the world around you. Don't allow the temptations of life to steal your focus from God's will for your life, because that's the first step. Young people that are here, this morning, man, I'm so glad that you're here. You are so loved here at Harvest. Teens, thank you for being here so faithfully. You're a big part of this church. I want you to think back, if you would with me just for a minute, to camp this last summer, 6 months ago. Because I know that a lot of you made spiritual decisions at camp. It was, you know, kind of a spiritual highlight. For some of you, maybe you got to think back, you know, a year and a half ago to camp, you know, 18 months ago, you're like, man, that's like a lifetime ago. And it is. I know that. Can I ask you this, though, you guys? Are you still pursuing that same direction? I'm asking that purposefully. In fact, right now, specifically, because this is a good time to evaluate it. In that summer, and you know, you had lots of voices speaking into your life, and you know, you're just surrounded by God's word, and you made some decisions of what you're going to do and the destination that you're going to pursue. But what happens, you know, for a lot of people, but it might have happened for you, is that along the way we can tend to lose our focus. And there's other things that come along and they start to distract us. And it's hard, man. I know that it's hard. I'm feeling this for you guys. There's so much going on in your lives, so many things competing for your attention. And just for a minute, though, at the start of 2022, as you guys start a new semester, I want to draw you back to what God did in your heart and in your life. And I'm just saying, maybe today is a day that you need to refocus. It happens to adults too. If you lose your focus, it will affect your direction, and ultimately it'll affect your destination. It will. The third thing that this passage tells us is this, that focus is determined by values. Or really, it really is determined by your heart. I love verse 23. Remember, I told you we're going to work from the end of the text down to the first part of it. Here's verse 23. It ought to be a verse that we plaster all over the wallpaper of our lives. Memorize it, meditate on it, apply it with all diligence. Translated in a very literal way, it means this. It means above all else. With all diligence, above all else, keep or guard your heart. Above every decision and every choice that you make in your life, guard your heart. For out of it are the issues of life. The direction and the destination of your life is going to be determined by your heart. So guard it, protect it. If you know anything about the context of Proverbs, you know that it's written by a loving father for his son. The first four chapters are really specifically in that way. In fact, even in chapter 4, verse 20, says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings." It's a series of advice about life, and I think it all leads up to this. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, about wisdom and decisions and friends and all of this advice about life, it leads up to this part. My son, attend to my words. And then verse 23 is like the culmination, the apex of this life advice. Above all else, above all these other things that I've told you, of all of the things that I've laid out my heart before you, my son, my loving son, above all these things, guard your heart. Protect your heart. Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. Your heart is obviously more than your physical pump. It's more than just even the mental and emotional center of your life. In this context, it's vitally tied in with, and it encompasses one's values. It's real. That's what it's talking about, the things that are important to you. Above all else, protect your heart. Protect the things that are important to you. Because if you're not careful, it's going to slide. And the things that were once important to you, no longer important to you, and something else is going to take their place. You're going to get distracted. Guard your heart. Guard your values. You don't want to know what your values are? That's what rules your life. And hey, listen to me. Something is ruling your life. Everybody in here, something is the Lord of your life. When we talk about this idea that we're going to make Jesus our Lord, He will not be satisfied with anything less than the lordship of your life. We are saying that everybody has something that is lording their life, that is ruling their life. You want to know how to know what is ruling your life? Want to know how to know what is the Lord of your life? Well, when someone touches it, either literally or metaphorically, when someone touches that thing, you want to know if it's the Lord of your life? It's the Lord of your life when somebody touches it and you get angry and you're like, "Don't you touch that." You can mess around with some other things in my life, but don't you touch that. And you know, it's the Lord. That's the thing that's ruling your life. It might be your calendar. It might be your hobby. Somebody starts messing around with, "Hey, man, it feels like you're spending all kinds of time with you." You're like, "Don't you touch that." It might be your phone. Ooh, that's kind of personal now, right? Don't you touch that. Might be your work. Might be your goals. But that thing that when somebody starts messing around with it and touching it, you're like, no. You can mess with a lot of stuff in my life, but don't you touch that. You see, because something is ruling your life. My experience is that God is always touching the things that are lording your life because He wants to be the Lord of your life. And that's why you get so angry when He starts touching those things. Why is this important? Because your values determine your focus, right? Now we're going to back our way back up this. Your values determine your focus, and your focus determines your direction, and your direction determines your destination. This is the reason why the writer of Proverbs, why God Himself, through the inspiration of His Holy Spirit, said this, guard your heart, because out of it are the issues of life, because your values, your heart, is going to direct your focus, and your focus is going to impact your direction, and your direction is going to impact your destination. If you want to know where you're going to end up, at the end of 2022, or the end of 2025, or 10 years, or 15 years, or 20 years from now, if you want to know where your destination is, I can tell you where it is. Find out where your heart is. Find out what you value. Find out what's important to you. Because out of your heart flows the issues of life. So we have this beginning of a new year, 2022. I don't know if you do any personal New Year's evaluations, any personal New Year's resolutions. I think you should. I think it's a good idea. Let me encourage you. If you haven't done it already, it's not too late. In fact, let me encourage you to do this. Spend your devotion time this week doing this. Your quiet time, your time with God. Spend this week. You might have another plan. You can do that. Add a few more minutes to it and just do some of this evaluation, this sort of New Year's life goals, resolutions. If you haven't been faithful in a daily personal time with God, this would be a great time to begin this. Start a Bible reading plan. I was just reading this week that for the average reader, you could read the entire Bible in this next year by reading only 12 minutes a day. I don't know about you, but my phone tells me how much time. It gives me this report of how much time I spent on my phone daily over the last week. Have you looked at that recently? It's probably more than 12 minutes. You could read the entire Bible. I won't ask you to raise your hand. I wonder how many in here have read the entire Bible. You could do it this year by 12 minutes a day. It's not too much. You could do it. But actually, I'm not even necessarily pushing you to read through the Bible. I think it's a good idea. More importantly, I'd encourage you to just spend some time in God's Word. It might just be one verse or two verses. Spend some time thinking about it and trying to evaluate it and give it some practical application. If you let God's Word saturate your heart, then it's going to chart your values. It's going to change your heart and ultimately change your destination, but it starts there. Here, let me encourage you, though, in this time, let me just give these to you real fast. Number one, if you want to do this week, evaluate your heart, your core values. Write it down. Write down the things that matter to you, what these core values are. That's number one, evaluate your heart. Number two, define your focus. That's sort of where you're going in your life. What destination is your focus on? Really, what we're talking about is goals. Define them. Be specific. If your focus, if your focus is on a passion for God, then your goals have to be in tune with that. By God's grace, this is where I want my relationship with God to be at the end of the year. I want to be closer to God, further away from the world. If that's what you want, then you're going to have to set some goals to get there. In fact, part of this process is figuring out what sidetracks you, right? How are you going to deal with that? That's going to be an important part of defining your focus. And number three, plan your direction. Like, what steps are you going to take? What directions are you going to have to change? Listen, you cannot grow in your passion for God by being consumed with your job. I'm not saying that, your job isn't important. In fact, I think it is very important. I think it's your calling. It's part of God's call on your life. I'm not minimizing your job, but I'm saying if you're consumed with your job and Jesus is getting left behind, then there's a problem there. You're going to have to figure out steps that you're going to take towards your passion for God. You can grow by planning to spend some daily time in personal communion with God. You can grow by making God a priority in your life and in your family, by making church connections and fellowship important to you and your schedule. But you have to plan for these things. They're not just going to happen. You're going to have to make a commitment that says, these are the important things in my life. That's where I want my destination to go. And in order to do that, I'm going to have to point my toes that way. That means I'm going to have to make some decisions that make me go in that direction. You're going to have to plan that out and write them out. And then number four, be accountable to someone. Maybe your husband, your wife. Could be a good spiritual friend, accountability partner. Tell them, hey, listen, I'm trying to track a new path in this year, and these are the things that I'd like to do. Here's my goals. Here's my plan. Tell somebody about it. Have some accountability. Here's the question this morning, and I want to ask it to you in a sincere, compassionate, but definitely a probing manner. Here's the question. Which way are your toes pointing? Because wherever they're pointing, that's where you're going. Make no mistake about it. The only thing that can change your ultimate destination is a mid-course adjustment. Find out where your values are. Find out where your toes are pointing. That's where you're going. And if you don't change course in a specific way, you're going to end up in the direction that your toes are pointing. You say, it's not that big a deal. I'm not against God. I'm not pointing in the opposite way of God. I'm just a little bit off center. Boy, I wish that I could agree with you that it's not a big deal. Unfortunately, I talked to too many people who have found out that those minor direction errors that they took maybe 20 years ago. My guess is that we could pull some people out of these chairs to stand up here and say, you know what, 20 years ago, I altered some course, my direction a little bit. It's not where I wanted to go. My destination was something altered. And because of that, I've dealt with a lot of turmoil and a lot of heartache. The destination was far from God and His will for my life. I didn't set out for this destination. I just lost focus. I just got my toes pointed a little bit different direction. I just got distracted and started chasing things that were not God. This is what the Word says. It's not my opinion. It says, above all else, guard your heart. Above all else, if I, as a loving father, could give you this morning all of the life advice that I had stored up, I would want it to be concluded with the advice of God through the writer of Proverbs, who said, above all else, guard your heart. Protect your heart. Because out of it flow the issues and the destinations of our lives. All right, let's pray. With your heads bowed this morning, as we just spend some time in personal reflection, personal evaluation, I know because of the leading of the Spirit and of the power of the Word, I know that God's speaking to hearts here this morning. I know that. I don't know who, and really, it doesn't matter. I do want to give you some time, though, to agree with the Holy Spirit as He's pressing into your heart. There might be some that would say, hey, Pastor, you know, the Holy Spirit has convicted me this morning about some direction changes that I need to make. If I'm honest, yeah, my toes aren't pointing in the right direction. And I want to make those changes, and I'd be willing to lift my hand and just ask you to pray for me as I try to do that. Would there be some that would lift your hand? Let me do that. Thank you. Thank you. Let me give you a minute. Hey, I got some direction changes I need to make. Pastor, would you pray for me about this? Amen. Thank you, guys. With heads bowed and eyes closed, just before I close in prayer, I want to give you an opportunity just to talk with God. I hope everybody in this room does this. Don't just zone out, wait for me to close. Would you take some time and talk with God and commit 2022 to Him? All the dreams, all the futures, and especially for those that right now the Holy Spirit's like pressing in this idea that you got to change some directions. That you maybe need the heart adjusted, the values adjusted. Would you just ask God to do that for you? Would you make some commitments to Him today? And then I'm going to close. Our Father, we thank You for the power of Your Word, that it's alive. It's been alive in this place today, touching our hearts and directing our thoughts. I pray for many, maybe all of us, that we would set a course for 2022 that would be passionately pursuing You. And because of that, that we would fall away from, pull away from the world, even though it is drawing us to it. Even though it's sending out attractions that are so distracting to us, God, I pray that we'd keep our eyes on You, our focus on Jesus, and that we'd be drawn to Him. I pray that the end of this year, 2022, would find this whole room filled with people that are closer to Jesus and further away from the distractions of this world. Would You do that in our lives, individually? Would You do that in our families? Corporately, would You do this in our church? And would it start with me? I pray that You do that in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.